Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to This Moment. My name is Jason Timbuktu Diakite, and as always, I'm here with my dear brother, chef, co-host with the most, Marcus Samuelson.
Jason, it's cold in New York and it's cold in Stockholm, I assume. January, February, for us that loves the sun, these are the hard months, Jason. Come on now. How are you, man?
It's tough, Marcus. I'm good. I am good. But it's tough. Like, I am looking out my window. I mean, it's dark now because it's evening. But, you know, it gets dark early here, man. You know, it gets dark early. It's, you know, Omicron has really put the lid on the pot, you know. And it's not even a regular pot by now, you know. Probably the same in the state. It's a pressure cooker in here. People are, you know, just this past week, artists and stage performers and people from the cultural sphere, from the performing arts have gone out. They've even confronted the Minister of Culture. Like, I don't know how much longer this lid is going to be able to stay on the pressure cooker, you know, before it blows. So it's really just, it's kind of eerie. The streets are empty. Like, people aren't going out. There are no concerts. It's just dead.
No, man. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And you can tell, like, England, UK changed its laws. Sweden also changed its laws in terms of coming to Sweden. But you're right. In the culture space, in the restaurant space, people are hurting. I mean, January and February is the toughest months in the restaurant business, regardless, right? And I think it's twofolded because fall was good up until December, you know, up until the Omni News. So for me, it's like we thought we were out of the gate. We were ready to go. And so it was this built up demand. And it's so tough. I mean, restaurants, not just here.
It's
the
start and stop and start and
stop
and hope and then no hope. And yeah, I can just imagine, like, people working in service, people working on the line, in the kitchens, people, you know, in my business, it's, you know, you got people doing the sound, doing the lights, renting out the equipment. You got the players, the musicians. Then, of course, at the top of that food chain, you have the performers the artists. And I will say that I'm in a privileged position and I'll be okay, you know, just like you'll be okay, like we'll ride it out. But it's it's a whole ecosystem. And if
that's a very, very important point, you know,
yeah,
it's not
I'll say that even when we started, you know, when from September 29th, 2021, they allowed concerts again in Sweden. And it was impossible to find a sound engineer, a sound technician to go with it, because the few that were still doing it were all booked. So we had to go through, like, we had to go deep into the Rolodex to find somebody. And that's just the reality of it.
No, you bring up such an important point. And it's exactly the same. Our worlds are very different, but they're also similar, right? It's not just about the chef in the restaurant. It's about that server, the barback, the dishwasher, the line cook. And it's all of us as a community that is hurting. And it's been for a long, 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 long time. And at the same time, you get news through your phones, and most of us, right? And you know, you also see, like, so many people are doing better than ever, especially big companies, because of this. So it's like this dual sort of news coming in and out. You know, I would say culturally in America, this winter, you know, we just had the MLK weekend, which is a big holiday, basically just became a nationwide holiday, you know, just over the last 10 years or so. And a lot of states didn't acknowledge it. Arizona was one of the last ones and so on. But it's a big, big holiday. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, icons are passing, man. Like Sidney Poitier just passed away. One of the most iconic Black actors of all time that basically, you know, paved the way for so many Black actors. Andre Talley, you know, just passed away in fashion, working with, you know, the most biggest houses in fashion. And that also trickles then down to, you know, the H&Ms of the world, the Gaps of the world. So it does have a day-to-day, everyday impact. And to have someone, a Black creative, being so powerful in that position was unheard of. So that's why he was such a groundbreaker.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
You've said it before, and I'm with you on that. It's just a matter of time until we see somebody else, another person of color, in holding that office, because now there are people out there who saw that it can be done, and they're already aiming for it. They're already working on it, you know?
So speaking of peeking into the future, we'll see if this can happen. But, you know, as I always look out for BIPOC or Black Swedes doing well in the world. And this week, actually, there's this new kid. He's been obviously working on it for a long time. Anthony Elanga. Oh. He plays for Manchester United.
Okay.
A Swedish kid just scored, and I hope he can be in the national team. If Sweden's going to make it to the World Cup, I can see a Zlatan, Alexander Isak, and Anthony Elanga. I was just so excited for him because, I mean, think about it, 19 years old, scoring for Manchester United, playing with Ronaldo. And, he's just got to live his life, right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, actually, because Sweden's movie that that hopefully represents Sweden in terms of the Oscars is actually a story around soccer and mental health. And, you know, it's about this Swedish kid, Martin Bengtsson, that became pro very, very early. And he moved to Italy. And, you know, childhood dream. But behind the curtain, there's a lot of conversation in the movie about mental health. And it's not as easy as you think. And it was just, when I watched Anthony Elanga score.
Because I just Googled him. Malmö. Born in Malmö. I rest my case. I'm done. Yes. We gave you another one. To everyone who knows me, Marcus, I don't know anything about football.
But when I see
Malmö, then I'm like, okay, yes. I could definitely roll with that.
So that movie, it talks a lot about being a kid, being a teenager, coming to one of the biggest clubs in Europe. And it's not just always as you think it is. But when I watched the movie, it really was a mirror to my own life. Not so much about soccer, but, you know, as a teenager, I came to Switzerland. You're on your own. You get a roommate. You got to figure it out. And mental health was the biggest issue. We didn't talk about mental health at all. There was nobody to talk to, right? Mm, but we were 40 kids, and every summer, 30 got fired. Mm. And it could be for anything. And it was so much around the mental health game. And I didn't know at the time that it was mental health. It was just, you just hung on to the thread of
you
stuff.
You didn't have the vocabulary for it at the time.
Not
that's the thing.
At all.
That, I think, is the biggest difference generationally. I hope for kids growing up today is that there's a wider vocabulary. Just like when you and I were teenagers, you know, our parents and their generation had provided us with a bigger vocabulary than they might have had when they were teenagers and so forth and so on. But again, to what you're saying here, Simone Biles really shone a light on that. And even dropping out of the, you know, big moment in her career, Tokyo Olympics, saying, no, you know what? I can't. I have to put myself first. I have to put my mental well-being first. And really just what a move like that does to inform and empower people around the world to say, listen, if this you know, legendary and record-breaking athlete will say, no, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. I have to sit this one out. That just, it inspires, you know, or empowers, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, it also shows that athletes really mirrors very often what's happening else in the world. So in Simone Biles, it was around mental health. You look at Djokovic in the Australian Open and the whole corona, you know, conversation, this built up, you know, this always two sides to everything. Like Djokovic didn't, he was not vaccinated. He was not allowed to enter Australia.
I don't want to talk about Djokovic.
I know.
No, I just, no, but the dude.
I completely, man.
The rest of us did, but yeah.
Anyway. I completely agreed. And he's completely exercising his privilege, right? And I completely agree with you. But I do think it holds up a mirror to society, right? So he thought he had a loophole. He took advantage of that. Of course, it all comes from a super privileged point of view. And he was in the wrong. He's not going to admit it. He was in the wrong. And good for Australia to stand up and say like, hey, this is not, you know, I think, you know, that was could not be easy for them. That's obviously the biggest player. More people would go and watch the game if he's in. But Australia stood up. But I do think that sports at its best highlights what's going on in everyday life. And both of those are examples, Simone Biles and the Djokovic situation, of what's going on at this very moment.
I will say one positive side effect that Djokovic and his you know, troubles in Australia had was that the Australian authorities, apparently, the first time around when they put him in in a holding, you know, while they were determining, you know, the outcome of his case, would they let him in? Would they not let him in? They put him in the same holding that they put immigrants who arrive, you know, or asylum seekers that arrive. And so I did read a few news stories about the kind of draconian treatment that Australia puts people from, like, some Papua New Guinea. People coming from Southeast Asia,
sure.
And you know, I'm sure Africans as well, who are trying to enter Australia, and the type of kind of prison-like holdings that they get put into. So I will say big up to Australia for being like, yeah, whatever, biggest biggest tennis star, number one tennis star in the world, but yo, you got to sit it out right here.
And you never know if they were Nadal or Federer fans either.
See, that's the thing. I haven't opened any newspapers from Serbia this week, but you better believe that there's some speculation going on.
Oh my God.
This I know is like a story of national interest. I mean, Serbia is hating so deeply on Australia right now. We just know that it's not good. But Marcus, one thing I wanted to say about stress, right? So in my life as an artist, I will say, I think the most stressful situations that I will find myself in or have found myself in is maybe, it's been mostly centered around money. Like coming up, I didn't have enough money. How am I going to be able to pay the bills and still work and so forth? But as far as when I'm on stage, sure. So like if you're in a battle situation, your heart might be racing, you have a high pulse and the adrenaline kicks in because you don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to get destroyed? Are you going to triumph? But on a regular performance day, I will say the music works as a salve. It's not, if I'm feeling stressed when I'm on stage, then something is wrong. And I very rarely do. The music is lifting me up. It's a healing, you know, once I get there. When I'm on, when I'm on the floor, when I'm on the stage, I'm being healed and you know, I'm feeling warmth. I'm feeling things that I don't even have, like that I don't have to use my brain for. But
it shows when you're on stage and you're in that zone. You're like you're so comfortable in a way. Like I'm more nervous for you than you are. You're not even nervous.
I know.
But like you're so comfortable in that space. So for me, it's like it's so clear to me that you have to be on that stage.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember guys, I you know, Marcus has invited me to play at the Apollo, to play at Ginny's several times. I remember the last time I was going to play at Ginny's, this is right before the pandemic interrupted us. You were so nervous that you were standing, like there's a pillar in the back of Ginny's, and Marcus, I saw Marcus like standing behind it, like kind of like, you know, okay, I hope he pulls this one off. And then as we got into the material, you moved out from the pillar and I was like, okay, he got it. But that's love. That's love, Marcus. Yeah, but no. What I wanted to do
harsh.
Was...
It's harsh because it's Harlem audience. They're
I know. I know. You just don't want to see me fall. But that's what I mean. Yeah. It's love, you know. But I got to go out on that tightrope. But what I did want to say, like, you're a chef. I have a few friends that are chefs. Stress management as a chef. Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second? Because I see that as probably one of the more stressful jobs you can have.
Yeah. So when I was coming up as a kid, so for the first, and I've talked about this in my book and I've shared this before, for the first 3 to 4 years, and I'm talking from being 17 to 21, basically, I threw up every day. I threw up every day. And I'm not recommending this to my worst enemy, right? Mm. And it didn't matter whether I worked in Sweden or I worked abroad. And when I became like 21, 22, it stopped. And I realized it was because I could start, I wasn't stressed out about cooking or the situation anymore. I had so much, I'd built up enough skills and knowledge. So no matter what you were throwing at me, situation, whether I was in French, German, English, I knew I could handle it. So for me, and this was horrible because when you throw up every day when you're working, it has a lot of it's not something nice to talk about, but like
side effects.
Side effects.
Yeah.
And of course, you also, you're psychic. When you have, you're done with it, you feel bad. You feel like wounded. Mm. You know, it's really, really bad. But it happened. I dealt with it, and it was rough. Mm. But working on a line itself for me is actually a very calming experience to me, because it is one of those places where it's kind of part like being in a band. You need the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You need the other guy on the side. Yeah. You need the bass. Uh-huh. You need the lead sing. And you're part of something that it's kind of your lot, your five, your seven, whatever you are, against everybody, right? And when you guys are, when we are in the sink, we're the best. We're not best on the block. We're the best anywhere. And it's a rhythm. And you feel like afterwards, hey, guys, it's high five. We did this. We did this
teamwork.
This night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, teamwork. And that's when you sit and after service and you just sit and you're tired. You have nothing more to give. But you also feel like, I love this stuff. I want back in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it looks stressful from the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing it, it's not stressful at all, because it's really what you, those hours that you learned in cooking school and when you were an apprentice and when you were coming up. This is what you're meant to do. So I love it. I was actually, this morning, I was just cooking with my guys. And again, I was just, as we were doing, setting up and doing it, I was like, damn, I love this. I was just saying this morning, it's like, damn, this is so much fun.
30 years in and you still feel
like,
that.
Damn, it's so much fun. I'm like arguing with one of my guys whether we're going to cure the cucumber overnight or just 4 hours, because that's a different bite. And you know, we've been talking about this damn cucumber for days now. So him being stubborn got there 2 hours earlier, gave me 3 different options, and laid it out for me, right?
Okay.
And we agreed on something, right? But it's like, that's cooking, man. Mm-hmm. And we need, especially in these moments, Jason, now when it's so, it's just like you talked about, it's so dark for us as creative. Like we really need those moments where when you're back on stage with your group, whether it's them or with the jazz band, because it's a part of you that when you're not expressing that muscle, it's a part of me that dies. If I'm not cooking, it's a part of me. I'm not myself. You know what I mean? I have to do it, you know?
No, after the first time I got on stage, you know, from the pandemic pause, the involuntary pandemic pause. So I had been on stage, I think I was, last time I had performed was February 24th at Ginny's 2020. And then it was July 30th, 2021. So it's almost an 18 months. Now, since I was 17, I have never had such a long pause from being on stage. But you know just how adaptable we are. While during those 18 months, I wasn't reflecting so much on, I really miss it. And now I don't have that. And I feel so sad and empty about it. At the same, I mean, I could feel that, okay, that muscle, that all of that part of me is kind of just collecting dust. But I was finding other things to do. I started writing rhymes every day, which led me to record an album. I started, spending more time, investing more time in just cooking for my family and doing all these other things to just keep me busy and keep my creativity, flowing, but just in another direction. But when I went back on stage that first time, before I walked out and I heard the crowd clapping, so I heard an applause, it just hit me. Shit, this is what I've missed. And when I got on stage, I got super emotional. And by the time we got to the last song, I actually cried. I haven't done that many times on stage.
Nice,
but
nice, beautiful.
Because I
beautiful.
Was like, and I had to tell the crowd about that I really haven't reflected on what this means to me. But being on stage for me that's been my church. That's been my North Star. That's been my raison d'être, right to exist. That's been the way I exercise, it's been the way my soul gets to fly for those moments. It's meant so much to me. And coming back was really emotional because that's when it hit me. Wow. I found lots of other creative outlets in life, and there are other things to live for, but I haven't found anything that's like this. I haven't found anything that means to me what this means to me and has meant to me since I was a kid, and I think that just awoke a deeper sense of gratitude or thankfulness,
I think I hear the same, and I take a couple of things out of that as an advice. Find what you love and do it as long as you can, and also don't take for granted that this moment will always be there, right? That for me, we talked about this, one of the biggest fears in the beginning of the pandemic is what's going to happen now. This thing that I've been with all my life, just like you, kept me out of trouble, kept me focused, all of those different things. If that's gone, what's going to happen, right? So it's like, find the thing, whatever it is. And I think that a lot of people are questioning the day to day. And I think post this, we all are having conversation in terms of work-life balance. It looks different for people. And then other things that are happening. I'll say, I got to give a big shout out to my wife, Maya. As she's, 8.5 months pregnant as we're recording this. At the same time, we had some really bad luck with our home. We got mold into the home. So we got to renovate it. And Maya is the one that dealing with the renovation, got us into a new apartment. And because I was just upping my own, my food and all of that stuff. And she dealt with all of that stuff. And it's amazing, like, as she's like in the last stage of before she's giving birth, she's really like, give me more. I'll take this on. I deal with the contractor. I deal with this. I deal with that. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how he thrives. And, the one thing that Maxie, Zion, Grace, and your son will be, they will be, do you know what their generation is going to be called? No. Do you know what their generation is going to be called?
What are we? We're Generation X, Y?
Yeah, X,
something
right?
Yeah.
But they're going to be Generation Alpha.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, goes back to the beginning.
They're going to be Generation Alpha.
Starting a new page. All
right. Right? And you know, what's going to be, I mean, so Generation Alpha is from kids born in the 2010 to 2025, right?
Okay.
That's the generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
so before that are the millennials, right? Or the Generation Ys or Zs or I don't know.
So it's millennials proper, right? Or maybe it's someone in between there. It's like a 15-year span. I think it's millennials. We should know this, but we don't. But I'm thinking about this. That's what I'm thinking about. It's like, you know, obviously their world would be around the metaverse, right? There would be, metaverse. It would be completely AI, would be completely natural for them, the way like we had to learn sort of like about the internet, and then obviously it became a huge part of our lives. But they're like,
No, we're Generation X. I got it here. So we're Generation X, and then you had Generation Y, Generation Z are the millennials, and now you're saying they're the alphas.
So think about what Max and Zion, and first of all, we want to hear from our listeners, you know, that have Generation Alpha kids already, what advice are you going to give to Jason and myself? Because we're just learning this, right? We're just learning this. And what, you know, something that they clearly going to take for granted, right? It's going to be, you know, of course, like AI is going to be completely part of their, you know, the way you and I were taught to drive a car, I'm not sure that they're even going to drive a car. They're probably not even going to need a driving license, right? So it's going to be so different. So, Jason, you must have thought about this, right? And the world between, you know, think about this. The world, you are doing things already that's kind of experiences. When I do a cooking class from my house that people all over the world can participate in, when you're doing a show from your house, from your studio, and people can participate that. You're already living in sort of that, even a Peloton class, right? It's part of this sort of like third space where you are being social, you're working out, but you're not in the gym necessarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of those experiences, the alpha kid's going to be there. normal for them.
Yeah, that's be how normal. I mean, for us, normal. We're still, I mean, I'm still learning, I will say, absolutely about, for example, social media and like why it's relevant to me. I mean, I understand the baseline of why it's relevant to, for example, inform my followers that this is what I'm doing or this is what I'm thinking or I have this new work to present to people. So I understand that, but it's not, I'm not fluent in social media. I mean, even the Generation Zs, the before the Alphas, I see they are much more fluent because they're also born, you know, we're still learning about the internet. Then you have our parents who, of course, had to, you know, late in life adapt to it, and some are better, some are worse. But with our children growing up, I mean, they're really going to be our teachers. And like you say, there's some scary parts of that. Like, for example, AI, like what that shift will look like. I mean, what does the world, how does humankind handle when we get to the point where we're no longer, when we're no longer the smartest entity on the planet, because that might be a computer that can artificially, that can learn things on its own, you know?
But that's like, that's happening already. That's
yeah, like it's happening and it's there, but we're not really seeing it, but it's going to intensify and it's really going to be out there much more as they grow up.
Sure.
So that's one thing. Another thing that we've really, I mean, remember when you were in school back in Partille, what's it called? Not Tendalen.
Savadalen.
When you were back at Savadalen, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, I was in Tuna School and learned late 80s. I remember we had our early 80s. We would like bake stuff and sell like gingerbread or do different drives. And the money we collected, we'd buy like, I remember our class had a project for a whole year to collect money to buy a soccer field of the Amazon rainforest. Because
wow,
we learned about Amazon deforestation. I don't know how it was up in Partille, but down in Lund. So there was that, right? And then I remember, no shots fired, just like small, just like under the table, under just like a quick little needle, like boom. And then at late 80s, we heard about hole in the ozone layer. And you're like, yeah, I don't know, like freon gases cause holes in the ozone layer. And then that kind of died down. Nuclear power is bad for humanity. Those were kind of the questions. But we could take things like, I don't know, the planet functioning and nature functioning the way it's supposed to, or in a normal way, more or less take that for granted. We were around for the revolution of air travel, where air travel wasn't something exclusively for the moneyed classes, but something that actually became an every person type of thing. And airline travel, like when you were 10, when I was 10, that was a big deal that you were going to get on a plane. That might happen to you.
Dressed up.
Maybe, exactly, definitely. Maybe once a year it would happen, you know. Whereas today it's like several times a year for everybody. But the climate, that challenge that our children will have to deal with and their judgment on us and previous generations, how that's going to look like, you know.
Well, I think about it also from our experiences, right? I think about, let's say, a restaurant. One of the things that I love about a restaurant is that you have to kind of put your social media game away in a sense, and you have to communicate. As an engaged diner, you have to be part of the room. You have a very important part. You're there socially with your friends, your business, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And the restaurant works its best when it's this back and forth between the kitchen, the front of the house, and the dining room. But it's pretty much a traditional experience that has gone on for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Mm-hmm. There's a specific feeling. It was great. The art was great. The food was great. The experience. Now it might be, hey, I'm going to be in Lund, and through AI, I'm going to have dinner at Ginny's. My friends are really over there already, but I couldn't make the trip, so I'm going to be part of the dinner, for example. Mm. Those are the
joining
experiences.
Virtually.
joining virtually. And I don't know if that better or that worse on a social level, maybe. I don't know, right?
It could also be that Zion, Grace, Maxime, and baby brother, they could meet in a virtual space that's not an actual restaurant in the physical world, but is a virtual restaurant where their avatars meet and they have, you know, a virtual dinner, and that could be the shit. And you're just sitting there like, behold, what do you mean you're having dinner? You're not eating actual food, you know? Like, I mean, we're gonna be so left in the dust when it comes to that.
But that's my point. Like,
yeah.
So like Fortnite is kind of a version of that.
Exactly.
Not food, right?
Exactly.
But then also, will the food virtually be so much better than it is in experience? What do we do? Because
I can't. No. You know where I'm going? I'm going to be in Addis, all right? It's like, I'm going back.
Yes.
I'll be in Addis. Yes. And it's like, I'll be somewhere where you actually have to go to a place to get water, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think I'll be needing at that point.
I love it.
But connecting this back and circling back to what you said before about athletes and mental health, there is that, I mean, I won't say that it's a worry yet, but that's also because my daughter is still only 3.5. But I look around at friends who have teenage children. I hear the stories, you know, mental health issues, anxiety and stress, that a lot of times are traced back to social media. You know, for example, it was me and 3 other kids in our entire school that were BIPOC kids. I was the only one in my class. So I was bullied by the same group of kids for my first 6 years of school. Called names, you know, racially bullied, got in fights almost every day, got in fights. And that really took me about a good portion of 3 decades to kind of really unravel and sit with and work through writing A Drop of Midnight. The book, I think, was the kind of final step in laying that to rest, you know, and kind of looking at what that had done to me, how that had affected my perspective and so forth. Now, what I'm hearing today from people who have teenage kids and older kids is that, bullying goes on after school as well, because it continues on social media. And when having a social media presence becomes kind of an extension of the schoolyard, or it's a part of your social life,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's a social part in
yeah.
social media, and that can go on then, and you can never really escape it. You know, you can log out maybe, but everybody else is on. You're still outside. You're on the outside, even when you're not there in the physical space of the schoolyard. You know, that to you're having a daughter. I have a daughter. To just something like self-esteem and body issues and eating disorders, all these things that I fear and do read are kind of enhanced or intensified via social media, and the kind of comparative lifestyles that we show on social media that may differ very much from how your actual life is. But if you grow up thinking this is how that person's life is, this is how I want my life to be, or else it is not a good life. Those type of challenges, I feel like you and I and so many other parents, and especially the kids and the people growing up themselves in this, those are some of the obstacles I see as huge moving forward.
Alpha is the generation. Again, mm-hmm. we want to hear from you guys that have experience in this or don't have experience. Just come and enlighten me and Jason. And maybe next week when we talk, Grace is already born.
Ooh,
maybe. Maybe it can be any day. I mean, I'm ready. I got my phone with me everywhere, of course. And when Maya texts me, I'm like, I'm ready to go. So it's and you know, Zion is ready. We all ready to go now. We're excited.
What is Zion saying? Where's he at with this right now? Right before it happens.
He already has a name for her. He's
what's all
into the solar system. He's all into the solar system where he's Saturn, and of course Grace is Pluto, like a smaller planet.
Okay, so she's small and kind of at the edge. Yeah. All right.
So that's it. And he's just excited. Sometimes like he calls her Princess Grace already. I'm like, all right, cool. And sometimes he gets confused because now a lot of packages are coming, or Maya's buying, you know, getting ready for Grace's stuff. And he's like, there's gifts in this house that just doesn't come to me. Like, he's like, why would anyone send gifts to the crib?
And also, like, hold up. It seems like your guy's focus is shifting to something else here. Like, hey, rewind. That's got to be a tough one. In one sense, yeah, I mean, you grew up with a lot more siblings. Like, I have an older sister, but we didn't grow up together. My sister, Adadia. And I have a younger sister that I did grow up with, Anya. And you have two older sisters. So you're a younger sibling, but I think this is more for older siblings. Like the trauma of, you know, that person coming in and kind of forever stealing your thunder, because it's never going to be the same again.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, it's never going to be the same again for Zion or for Maxine, you know?
Absolutely. So we're going through that.
It's
but
a blessing,
again,
man. Yeah.
It's a blessing. And it's been, out of all of these sort of like tough times, and you're obviously reading the news and all of that stuff, like just to come home to a 5.5-year-old that doesn't care about any of that stuff. It's like, are you ready to go? And if you're not ready to go, he's like, you, what are you doing here? Right.
Yeah.
So I just love that. And to be able to go and do that again with baby Grace is going to be so much fun. So hopefully next week we talk there, baby Grace will be born.
Wow.
All right.
Marcus, all my blessings to you, to Maya, to Zion, and most of all to baby Grace.
Yes.
She's going to come when she's ready, you know, and she's going to teach you a thing or two, brother.
And I'm just going to say to Pashley out there, there's going to come a time when we're going to get Malma. This was not the one, but there's going to come a time when we're going to come back on Malma. I don't know which one, but I'm here for you. I've not forgotten.
Okay? It's here. Shout out to Black United. They know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
they know what I'm talking about. All right, brother. One love. Peace.
What do you think about this episode? We want to hear from you. Let us know at thismomentpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Instagram @thismomentpodcast.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.